All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 6. Psalm 6. Now, this is going to be our fourth message. So 3 weeks ago, we started a series. And the series is basically, is he listening? Is God listening to me? Now, why would I say that? Because, well, for you, if you're a believer, you know that there are times when you pray that you don't hear anything. You're not seeing God's movement in your life. You're not seeing him respond. You don't even sense peace sometimes. And so there's a struggle. We just struggle with coping with God's silence. And so, you know, in our first message, we kind of talked about the issue. The second message, we kind of talked about the whole issue of praying and whether we can go to God and bear our souls to him. That is, yes, when you lament to him, you can. But if you're complaining out of unbelief, that's not good. And then last week, we kind of looked at, well, maybe there's a reason why we need to examine that first. Maybe it's you. Okay, well, let's move on. If it's not you, what we're going to spend the next 3 weeks on is the things that we pray about that we don't hear anything about. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about the one issue that a lot of us pray about that if you were to ask us, okay, I'm praying about this, but you don't hear anything, we just kind of assume that God's not going to hear us on it. He's not going to do anything. So we're just floundering along, but yet we pray. Well, what is it that you're talking about, George? I'm talking about sickness. Suffering. You know, I've been pastoring now for over 30 years. Let me just be flat out honest with you. Most of the time when we have a prayer meeting and we're taking prayer requests, can you kind of guess what the number one type of prayer request we usually share? It's pray for my loved one who's sick. Pray for me, I got this report from my doctor. Pray for just this health issue and I don't know what to do. I'm asking God to do something, but it's hard, George, it's hard. I'm holding on and it's just frustrating to me because doesn't he care? I'm watching my loved one suffer. Can't he be merciful? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I think we can all relate, right? And to be honest with you, probably for a lot of us, we believe, we trust, but we just kind of like, okay, we're just kind of like, we just assume that when it comes to that, well, he can heal. We believe that he can heal. Can you believe that God can heal? Yes. I believe God can heal. But then there are times when, well, why did my daddy have to go through that? Why did my mom have to go through that? Why did my grandparents have to suffer that way? Why am I dealing with this diagnosis, Lord, that the doctor told me about? He told me I have cancer. What do I do? What do I do about this, Lord? I mean, I don't know how to handle this. I believe in you. I trust you, Lord, but I'm really hurting here. How do I deal with this? So we hear silence. And to be honest with you, it is very unnerving. Because we're not praying about, Lord, I need a new car. We're not praying about, Lord, I need a new job. Lord, I'm not praying about, can you work out this situation or that, or give me a parking place at Walmart. We're talking about prayers that are real to us, right? We're talking about rubber meets the road. I need you to show up and be God. And let's be honest, it's frustrating. Because we don't understand. So that's why I want to go to Psalm 6. Psalms are filled with laments. And in this psalm especially, the writer is going to talk about his suffering. So I want you to notice with me, it's just 10 verses. Here is what David writes. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary and with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. All right, now here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take this psalm, the 10 verses. I'm going to break it down into three sections. I'm going to talk about the plea to God. And as we talk about what David is saying here, I think you're going to relate to him. This is why I think I have people all the time tell me, where should I read, George? Where should I read? Read the Psalms. You'll be able to relate to him because he relates to you, okay? He's crying out from his heart. So a plea to God. But then we're going to see in verses 3 through 7, he's going to talk about his suffering. He's going to express his suffering out loud. And then we're going to see faith. Faith even in the midst of silence. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the plea to God. So I want you to notice with me verse 1. Here's what he says. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Here's what I want you to see. There is a plea that God would not add to your suffering. That's the first thing. You ever been there? You're in the midst of it, and you say something like this. I can't take any more, Lord. You ever said that? I can't take any more. It's like that's George Cannon's way of saying what David is saying here. Don't add to my suffering. This is overwhelming enough for me right now with what I have to deal with. I don't know how I can accept what he told me or what she told me when I went to the doctor's office or what the blood test said. I can't accept what I'm seeing. I can't accept how I'm feeling. And I'm coming to you, Lord, and I'm like, Lord, please, relief. Don't add anymore. We can relate, right? Right? Nobody says, wow, I'm going through it. Bring it on. Give me some more. I mean, if somebody acts like that, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Did you eat something wrong? Your thinking is all messed up here. So David is like, there's a plea for him. God, don't add anymore. But he follows it up. Here's the plea, and we can relate. Here it is. In the midst of your suffering, there is a heartfelt plea for God's grace. Look at what he says, verse 2. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. God, be gracious to me. Be merciful. Because, folks, that's what grace is. Grace is mercy you don't deserve. It's grace in the midst of, and he gives us grace. You know, I think back, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 12, Verse 7 through 10 is one of my favorite portions of Scripture throughout my Christian life. But I want to focus in on verses 8 and 9. Here's Paul. He's got some kind of thorn in his flesh, some kind of issue. A lot of scholars think it's a medical issue. Maybe it was an eye problem. And here's what he says. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Now, you realize that? You think, well, it seems like I'm always complaining to you, Lord, about this. It's okay, because here's the apostle. He's like begging three times for it to be taken away. Here's how God responds to him, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God gives grace. So the natural thing is, first of all, God, don't add anymore. I can't take it. The next plea is what? Be gracious with me, Lord. Give me grace. Well, how often should I ask for grace? Continually. You know what it's like. Sometimes you need grace every day, every moment, every hour, right? Just enough to get through the next step, the next issue, the next problem, the next suffering. Give me grace. That's David's plea here. And with that plea, he shares his suffering. He shares and expresses what he's going through. And I think we can relate here. So I want you to notice with me, first of all, verse 3. You and I can relate to this. Look with verse 3. Here's what he says. My soul is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see you are deeply affected by the silence of God. We don't talk about that out loud. I have yet to be with a group of guys or a group of people, and it's, okay, how can we pray for you? I've yet to hear somebody say, you know, I'm in the midst of it right now, but I really need you to pray for me, because right now what is driving me nuts is I don't hear anything from God. I've never heard anybody say that. However, I do know that people feel that way. We don't want to express it out loud because, oh my goodness, if I express that out loud, then there's a question about whether I truly believe or not. No, you're human. And God understands you're human. And he understands when you're in the midst of it, you're going to be deeply affected if you're going to him in prayer and there's nothing but silence. That's why David says, how long? What does he mean, how long? How long, Lord, are you not going to respond? How long do I have to endure this? I'm languishing. I'm in the midst of it. I'm hurting. Let me just stop for a moment. Let me answer something that just occurred to me. Sometimes we think that God doesn't understand what we're going through. You ever thought that? You ever said something like, you don't know how I'm feeling? We say that to human beings, right? When you're trying to share with them the pain that you're going through and so forth, you say to them, well, you don't really, because people want to be an encouragement, so they'll say, oh, it'll be okay. Just trust the Lord. If you're a Christian, it'll be all right. And you're just thinking to yourself, and sometimes you say, well, you don't know how I'm feeling. I'm trying to tell you, just as a pause in the midst of what we're looking at here, have you not realized just reading this that he does? He does understand, because this is his word for you. And his word for you is expressing pain and the wrestling. He does understand. So notice with me, okay, so we're talking about his suffering expressed. Look with me at verse 4 to 5. Here's what he says. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? Sheol is the grave. The grave. And so what's going on here is you cry out to God for a response because of his love for you. So even though there's silence, you still go to him and you still, because you can't separate, if you truly believe, you can't separate in your mind that he does love you. I know we wrestle with that sometimes. Like, why are you allowing this to happen? I mean, if you truly love me, this wouldn't be happening, Lord. No, but he does love you. So you keep going to him. David is still going to him, and he's banking on his steadfast love. His unchanging love. Some of you need to hear this. Listen to me. You might be going through something right now, health-wise. And you're wondering, does he care? Do not wonder that. Silence doesn't mean that he doesn't care. His love doesn't change for you. He loves you. It's steadfast. One more thing I want you to see about the expression of his grief here, the expression of his suffering. I think we can relate to this. Look at verse 6 and 7. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Here's what I want you to see. Is your suffering keeps you awake at night with your grief. I think you can relate to that. Now, just so you know, he's not sleeping on the couch here. Like you're thinking, he's just collapsing on in the living room on a couch. He's referring to his bed here as a couch. Their bedding was a little bit different than you and I, okay? They didn't have water beds, if you still have one. They didn't have memory foam beds. They didn't have all of this, or a Sealy Posturepedic or whatever, you know, or the adjustable things you see advertised. That's not their bed. It's referred to sometimes as a couch. But the fact is he's saying he can't sleep at night because he's so consumed with his problem, all he can do is cry. He's crying. God. Can you relate? I'm old enough to consider. I wish I could have him back, but there are many nights that I did not sleep, even though I was laying down because my mind was consumed with grief. Grief for loved ones, grief for myself. Grief. We can relate, right? You say, okay, George, wow, okay, so, okay, with those first two, the plea, with the suffering expressed, but that still doesn't tell me what to do because, okay, I am praying, I am talking to him, I am expressing to him, I really need him to show up, and I need him to do something in my loved one's life. I need you to bring healing, God. I need you to destroy that cancer in their life or destroy this issue of what's going on in their life. I need you to answer this issue in my life and what's going on with my health. God, I need you to show up, but you're not saying anything. What do I do? Have faith. That's what he's saying here. He closes out his psalm of pain with an expression of faith. He's still going to trust. He's still going to trust. So notice with me. We'll take a look at it. Got a few things I want to share with you here. Three things. Look at verses 8 through 10. First of all, Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. Here's the first thing. Knowing that God has heard you instills confidence when you're facing those who mock you. Just knowing that even though he hasn't necessarily said, okay, George, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to answer it. I want you to go to this doctor. He's got the solution. Even though he doesn't do that, but I know he has heard me, that gives you confidence, even in the face of those who would mock you. What do you mean mock you? You know how it is sometimes. Not everybody is concerned for your sickness. There are some people that will mock you. And almost some people, I hate to say it, will even say, boy, you deserve it. And this is what David is saying. He's not worried about those who would plot evil against him because God has heard him. He's confident. My God has heard me. So here's the first thing I want you to see there about what do we do when we have that silence? You got to have confidence in him through faith. You got to have confidence. Here's the next thing I want you to see. Look with me at verse 9. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. So here's what I want you to see. You can be confident that God has heard and accepted your prayer. So, okay, let me help you here. What are you saying, George? All right, here it is. Silence doesn't mean he didn't hear you. Maybe you need to write that one down. Silence doesn't mean he didn't hear you or accept what you're saying. Have you ever faced that in life? Have you ever interacted with somebody who was, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it was a boss, maybe it was somebody who was more superior, and you're telling them something and they didn't respond to you yet? It didn't mean that they didn't hear you. It just means they don't have a response yet. Or maybe they have something else in mind. See, you can have confidence in prayer through faith. You can have confidence that as I'm going to him and I'm bearing my soul, which, that's by the way, he wants you to go to him. He wants you to share with him your pain and your hurt and your struggles. He wants you to come to him. Just because there's silence doesn't mean he hasn't heard you or accepted what you said. Final thing here. Look with me at verse 10. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Here's the final thing. There is a belief that God's response to you will impact others. There's still a trust that however God responds to you, in David's case, it was the rebuke of his enemies, who are just gloating over whatever he was suffering with and just waiting for him to languish in pain. But the reality is that whatever God responds will, he's trusting that whatever the response will be, it's going to impact others. It will either rebuke them or it'll encourage them. You know, in my years of ministry, I have ministered to those who have suffered through long battles with sickness. And there have been prayers for God's healing. And then ultimately, there wasn't healing. So how can that impact somebody? But here's what I want to say to you. But what there was, though, was still God's grace in the midst of it. Still God's working, still God's encouragement to them so that when they went on to be with Jesus, there was an impact because they died with their faith and their trust. in the one who would take care of them. Maybe he didn't bring the healing like everybody wanted. Because let's be honest, I don't know of anybody here that wants any of their loved ones to die. We want them to be with us forever, don't we? But sometimes God, in his grace and in his mercy, he maybe doesn't answer the way we want him to answer, but he still impacts with his response because we see grace in their lives. And that still has an impact. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being with them. Thank you for their life and how they impacted us. Let me stop for a moment. I just had this thought. Let me encourage you with something. Being a church isn't attending a service. I've said this a few times over the last week. It is not attending a service. Being a church is interacting with each other. And some of the greatest blessings in my life as a pastor has been interacting with people in their suffering and being there for them. But that doesn't just have to be me. I hope it isn't just me. We can all do that for each other because that's what we're supposed to do. And then be impacted by those who are going through it because you see God working in their life. That changes you. And I know it's my testimony that, you know, when I first started out as a believer and started out going to school and stuff, I was a pretty critical person. But I'm going to be honest with you, as I have interacted with people and watched their suffering and tried to help them, I have become less critical. And I thank God for changing that in my life. He could do that in your life. But here's what it means. You got to get out of your pew and don't just head out the door, but interact. Because right in this room, there are so many different people. They got so many things going on in their life. They just need to know that somebody cares. And maybe you're the act of grace in somebody's life that is needed in that moment. But I know what it's like. We're busy. I've got my schedule, George. If I don't get to McDonald's right then, there's going to be a line. No. Be Jesus to people. Let them know that he hears them. And that you're the one that he sent. Let them know that. All right, what do we do with this, George? Okay. Here's what we do. Keep praying. Silence does not mean he's not listening. Keep praying. You weren't meant to carry it. You weren't meant to internalize all that pain and hurt. Go to him and know that when he listens, then he accepts you and he will give you grace. He may not answer the way you want him to answer, but does he always answer the way you want him to answer? No, he answers for what's best, right? But go to him. Express your pain. Silence is not a bad thing. So have faith. Go to him. Let me pray for you.